junkie cunt. We run the mark from the day to night, and we don't need a plane to be staying high. Speaking of Bud, Adelaide is next. Out of everyone, Bud, Adelaide the best. So we blaze a sesh there and celebrate. Every step that I take, man, I elevate. Ate a mushroom, now got a bellyache. Did I mention I was high on the telly, mate? When they sat me there, right next to a hoe, some feminist bloke named Jessica Rowe. Fuck her off, Adelaide was sick. I mean, I think it was, I can't remember it.
Alright, alright.
I know that we're supposed to be talking about... We're supposed to dive straight into one of the biggest tragedies of the 20th century. But we really need to get this on the record. Cursor is the sickest.
Cursor is the best thing since Eminem.
It's true. Give me someone who's better. Write into the comments and show me someone that is A, more hilarious, B, can come up with hilarious puns like drug rats, bruh.
He's pretty mad.
And that's why he's better than Eminem.
And who is down to go to his concert?
I am.
Not me.
Fucking the crayon, bruh. Why are you, Dad? You love him. I mean, come on.
It's enough for me to watch his videos. I feel like, can you imagine how many lads will be at that concert?
No, that's why I need to see it with my own eyes.
That is
It'll be like watching one of those documentaries where they go, the universe is far bigger than what
Do you reckon he exclusively plays in Campbelltown?
No, dude. He's going big, man.
Like he's just killing it. What is he like? Enmore Theatre?
And I think he has
easily. Dude, Enmore would be nothing.
If anything, I respect. Like, dude,
the hustle.
He should. There should be a picture of him just crouching in his TNs, and it's just like a life lived well, bruh. And it's just a self help book because he's made it himself, and that I respect to the ultimate. Like he has had. I believe
how being
zero
the sickest
support?
Made me feel most alive.
No record label, no radio play, right?
And how much better
That's
is
incredible.
He's so much better than 362. And 360 gets all the Q&A invites.
I agree with that.
Let's just cut to the chase. He's better than any Australian rapper, for sure. Especially the cunts that are on Triple J.
Well, yeah, the Triple J. There are.
Let's do it the Aussie way. He's the best rapper in the Southern Hemisphere.
So true. Much what? Like Erin Affair held the title of the largest mall in the Southern Hemisphere until the only possible city that could take that away from us, Johannesburg, was slightly
like,
bigger
one. Shit, yeah. South Africa's in it too.
But honestly, he is more of a badass than D'Ant would. For sure.
Yeah, I'm a bit over there, mate. It's like, yes.
But I'll never get over a lad that pulls his pants up just over his ankles. Still mad.
I know.
How much
would he freak out people from the 19th century?
He is so much better than Post Malone, too. I know, who's like, that? You guys aren't... Dude, Post Malone is this guy who's been trending. He's a white rapper, and he just came out with Rockstar, which I think has 500
billion
views.
Do you mean the guy that did, I made it...
No, not everyone on the planet, Miss Love, is either Cursor or Kevin Rudolph.
Sorry, I always have to remind myself of that.
He's probably
more people on Earth.
Jay-Z, Black Kevin Rudolph, is that you?
He's
Rudolph
than-
the Red-Nosed Reindeer? You must be Kevin Rudolph.
He's better than DJ Khaled. At least he has more lyrics than just DJ Khaled.
You're not going to get any arguments from anyone here. Probably.
Oh, you definitely will from me.
Yeah, but
DJ Khaled is the best lyricist of all time.
But I thought DJ Khaled was your favorite Muslim too.
What's that?
Wasn't DJ Khaled your favorite Muslim?
Yeah. After what's that guy called? The guy. The guy in the Ayatollah in The Simpsons. He's the first best.
Oh, yeah. Ayatollah Neznebek?
Yeah,
no,
that guy. One of the Ayatollahs.
I don't care who's consolidating their power. anyway, the point is, the fact that that guy, this is why Cursor is the sickest. He went on Studio 10 high on mushrooms.
While mad at... While
I
add,
don't know,
please.
I don't.
He's the best. He's the best human being.
I agree. That's amazing.
But I thought there was no other way to go to Studio 10. You have to be high on mushrooms.
Wait, but can I just add like another dimension to that scenario?
I know what you're going for.
You're not going to be able to find it on YouTube at the tip of a typewriter. Although, are you? Because if you are, I will be extremely, extremely...
Can't find it.
Yeah, I didn't think so. So,
the point is, the we
point,
know...
The point is, go on your Facebook. I've sent it to you. The point is, while Cursor was high on shrooms sitting there, our friend from high school...
Who looks exactly like the YouTuber Michael Finch, by the way, without the makeup.
Who was up the railings, which I assume were average quality, pointing a light, a spotlight, a backlight on him, because that's his job. He's the lighting technician for Studio 10.
And was... once on a very brief segment on Studio 10 where they go, well, it's feeling festive and we just love
I
our
really
Dean Steven.
I find it. I'm going to find it on my... He's
going to sing Advanced Australia Fair as an opera singer. And it's going to sound exactly the same as anyone who's never done opera before, because all opera is going... I'm as good as him. I'm sorry.
Hey, you don't have to make sense. There's no lyrics that you need to be worried about.
Wait, listen. Just crank me up.
His name is Dean, and he's one of our staging guys, and we love him, but he's been keeping a secret. He has the voice of an angel. More about Dean at divasondemand.com.au. Here
up,
he is
up.
Now with Silent Night.
This is legit, everybody. We love this man.
Just remember, Michael Finch without the makeup. I can do that.
Hold on. You're ruining it. Oh, so calming. It's a Christmas tradition for me to listen to this every Christmas. Me and about 15 friends.
Your House of Love Sills gets the girls circle.
Yeah. Can we make this viral? Please.
Well, how do they find it?
I don't know. I just have it saved so I can get it as quickly as possible.
I can't believe this is the guy that taught me what a Sikhi drummy is. Oh, was that?
This is the man that Ali met for, I think, about 15 minutes in his life, who said, do you know what a chocolate drumstick is?
Wait for this. You think it's over, but... That's the German version.
So good.
It's
he does
just
Sergeant Schultz.
You can put me down again. That is just absolutely just... I mean, if I'm ever in a coma or that or on my deathbed, either play that out to me into the next life. That's what I want to fly out to the next life in. Or if you need me to get out of... I mean, if you're trying to wake me out of the coma, pop that in your earbuds.
They're both two good options, but I do really want to shoot you out of a cannon naked too.
That's our mate's choice of funeral, isn't it, procession?
Well, it's whoever dies first is getting the honour.
Have you heard
Come
this?
On, there is glory in dying us. Young. Do it. So one of you guys die.
I think Johnny Depp did that for his friend.
Hunter S. Thompson, he shot his ashes into space. But that is far cry from our Darrow mate getting shot out of a cannon to AC/DC's Highway to Hell. And just as the pick slide comes on, fireworks spraying from the side of where each of the audience are sitting, just going boo, 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 like those motocross riders, as they do in the Easter show.
That's so good. Not a daredevil in real life, but yeah, in the afterlife.
Yeah.
Evil Knievel.
And then just landing on some old lady. The Gigi Allen of our time.
What a way to go.
Just incredible.
The only way to go. Dude, Miss Love, if you die, I will pitch in for that experiment.
I'm not agreeing to that. I don't want that.
Oh, what?
What, you want Dean Stevens lowering you into the casket?
Yes.
How much less glorious is that than getting shot out of a cannon naked? It doesn't compare.
Would you do it? Would you do it?
The only thing that could possibly compare is if you're allowing Dean Stevens to roast you while singing that, and then he gets to eat you.
Jeez. He would be down for it, too.
You know he would.
Nom, nom, night.
He's just the best man on earth. Oh, I love him so much.
He is a magnificent human being. But, gentlemen, we are here to discuss
the big topics.
Rwanda.
No pun intended. Rwanda. So if you haven't...
So mean.
If you haven't checked out the last pod, please do, because we spoke about the Rwandan genocide and we ended...
Where we set it up and we're talking about the actual genocide itself and how quickly it spread.
Yep.
And then we started discussing, as per usual...
Trump, because we're BuzzFeed.
I mean, let's be 100% honest here. That was all you, Miss Love. You loved...
No, it wasn't. That was all that. Ali.
That was, yeah, that was, like, that was me trying to explain to Miss Love what my rationale is behind not liking Trump.
Yeah, don't throw it at me.
Okay, all right. Nonetheless, it is still your fault for being in the room, Miss Love.
I think the biggest BuzzFeed nominee here is Friendly Jimmy's throwing it on the one person that believes in sensible immigration policy.
You started
sensible
this
immigration policy. So many times in that last podcast said, Miss Love, just admit it, you're a racist.
Yes! Four times.
did you say it just
so many?
Well, why don't you admit it though?
All right, I admit it.
We'll change your ways.
He's all right. He's all right.
Okay, how?
He has a few token Muslim ethnic friends that he can claim not to be racist about.
Yeah. A la Pauline Hanson with the Asian bakery next door.
I can't believe I am that
Vietnamese
Asian
role.
I can't believe I'm that Asian person from.
It's not Hanson. My fault. I grew up in the North Shore. That was not a choice.
Dude, you live in Sydney. You should have a few ethnic friends. I'm
just
going to
put it
out
I said
there.
I grew up in the North Shore.
Yeah.
Yeah, like, which means that you lived right next to 800,000 Chinese people.
Yeah. Key words, right next to.
So I know what they're about.
But I don't like how many ducks they have in their windows. It should only be three.
I like them, but what am I supposed to do? Go around chats with flies, being like, do you want to come to my hoot nanny in Artarmon as a 10-year-old? Who are you? Yes. What are you selling? What are you selling?
That lure them into your house with a trail of those really crap lollies that have been around for 1,000 years and have no sugar in them.
What are they?
I don't know, but Chinese people, old Chinese people are always eating them, and it's just, this is worse than licorice. I'm saying this is good.
You guys are exactly the opposite. Jordan, on the other hand, I think is only comfortable with immigrants.
I'm a hate-seeking missile for non-threatening immigrants.
Exactly.
He's racist in a completely different way.
Yeah, but non-threatening, let's be honest, non-threatening are the key words. Immigrants is just a coincidence that a lot of immigrants are non-threatening. If Greek or like white middle class girls weren't insane, then Jordan would, don't you worry, he'd be best buds with them. He just gets scared of girls going, hey, what did you get me for Christmas? And if it wasn't Harry Potter memorabilia, he'll get a slap in the face. He's And that's understandable.
Scarred.
And that's understandable, but let's be honest, that's what it is.
Mm. Definitely. I'm just saying, Miss Love, it's really lucky that you're related to this man going.
He's not Croatian, I still stand by that.
Doesn't matter. The point is, he's foreign. And the fact is, no matter how much you sit there and go, God damn immigrant, the fact that you look exactly like anyone on Slav Squatting, the Facebook page, is the only reason I could talk to you.
What do you mean?
What do you mean? What do I mean?
Well, you say
don't tell me that you don't think Adidas is the greatest brand of all time.
Wait, are you saying if I was from Cronulla and was like, true blue, you'd be like, I can't be friends with him?
Not that I can't be friends with you. It's just that you'd weird me out too much and how much you're just like, oi, do you like it? Do you like Fitzy and Whippers? Aussie Battler style better than Gangnam style.
I
couldn't deal with it. The only way I can deal with you is the fact that you said the best damn in the hair.
Objectively, I can see why I'm hilarious. But like, dude, if a guy from Cronulla comes up to me with a sausage, like one of those Bunning Sangers and a Coke Zero, and it's like, oi, is this the greatest country on earth? I'm going to go, hell yeah, dude. And chill with him.
I will as well, but yeah, I'll bow profusely, a lot like an old Asian man that lived through communism, going, oh, yes, very good, very good. And back away and then talk to my own people, which are Chinese people.
So weird.
Chinese. I don't know why. Yeah, I honestly am just a reincarnation of one of those guys that used to drag around rich people on a rickshaw. That was definitely my past life.
There's some
and
strange...
your past life for sure was being a potato in the soil missile.
For some reason, even during the fan mine, you were still in the ground. No one took you out.
And don't you think that Ali's past life was being one of those Sharky Bubba toys from a Kinder Surprise that was just melted down by a sadistic kid?
Yeah. And as a result, I became a human in the next life.
It was just such a torturous death.
Yeah, it was just like, come on.
But we all wound up together anyway. Just like the section, the shitty girls minus one.
So that was our take on Rwanda.
Tune in next week where we'll discuss part three of Rwanda, the actual discussion. So anyway, the point is, what happened? We were up to the point where...
basically,
we're up to now.
We're at the point.
Not
where,
now.
No. We're not up to now. Okay. We're at the point where like a million people are dead.
No, they're dying.
Oh God.
Yeah, they're dying.
We're just
dying.
Talking about the process of it, which was that the UN had a peacekeeping force there of 2,500. Mm. The Belgium forces were the main consistency of that. 10 of their soldiers were killed. We know that it was the Hutu extremists that killed them because they knew that if there was any fatalities at all, the people would back out. So they all left. There is footage of them leaving huge churches, football fields filled with terrified Tutsi trying to get onto their trucks as they shoot into the air going, get the no saves,
it's
no
such
saves.
It's such a fun-loving name, though. It's so hard to... It's
like Hutu.
Both of them.
Hutu scares the crap out
Hutu
of me.
Care.
Well, Tutsi sounds like Teletubby.
Tutsi's kind of just like a sweet. Like, it's
Tutsi
a snack.
Tutsi roll, yeah. As you were saying...
Tutsi reminds me of my girlfriend's name.
Well, that makes sense.
It's the first part of it, too.
Yes. Yeah, that's true. Are you saying on record right now that the genocide in Rwanda was carried out by 50 million clones of your girlfriend? Is that what you're saying on record?
Yes, I am.
So, and did she kill them with niceness?
So anyway, they were all leaving. The general, I can't even remember his name now, it's really bad of me, but the general was Canadian. He stayed against the UN's orders initially.
That's
refused
right.
to stay. And also, I think it was, in all credit to them, the Nigerians, that consisted of the peacekeeping force, refused to leave as well.
That so rubblesome
450,
bunch.
The rubblesome Nigerians.
I don't know. They've had such a terrible... Africa has had such a brutal history that... I don't... It's unfathomably brutal to me. It's
true.
I learned a very good point, which I told Jordan before, of why that's the case with Africa.
Because of diamonds?
No. It's like, so, it's basically just this one guy explained to his daughter why your progress in Africa didn't. He's like, just look at the map and you'll figure it out. And it's like, so
too
apparently...
Big?
No, it's from north to south instead of east to west. So what he was saying was that the entirety of humanity progressed because of the agricultural revolution and surplus. And he was saying if you're north to south, the weather changes or the climate changes so much that if you figure out how to farm in the south, your knowledge is completely irrelevant 100 kays to the north. But if you've got like a country or like an entire continent that spans from east to west,
it's the same.
Every part of knowledge, you can use it. So you basically grew. It's a pretty fucking sick point.
Wow.
Never thought about that.
But there was also Egypt.
Yeah.
What, the Nile? What was it? Like,
no, but like
Europe's fresh water hole. Isn't that what they called it?
Yeah, it's just... It was...
No.
Well, for one, it's not in Europe.
Yeah, but doesn't it go through to Europe?
The Europe's freshwater hole lies not in Europe.
Move FM's Miss Loves Geo is a completely different segment for a completely different show, Miss
No,
Love.
Wait a sec. There was...
You don't need your half-baked geographical facts.
There was some truth to that, I swear.
No, there's not. But anyway, so you were talking about like the UN peacekeeping forces moving away and that ensuing further violence.
So they left, and this is what he was saying, was that with a further 500 troops, he reckons he could have saved hundreds of thousands of lives because he had this great idea that he couldn't implement because even the 450 peacekeepers that were left behind, most of them didn't even have guns. In a country that is just erupting with violence... It's so, these guys, instead of just going like, Ben Kazin's absolute hero, The guys that stayed in Rwanda when they didn't have to, they should be treated as heroes. It was incredible the amount of good work that these people
did. But they are, right? They are still... Dude, like, but in
they should
hindsight,
be taught in schools as that's what I'm saying.
Well, now
that's bravery.
Everyone,
yeah, I agree, of course.
Everyone, like, unanimously agrees that the Rwandan genocide was, like, a dark chapter for the world community where, like, they didn't act accordingly. Like, it's not one of those... It's not, like, up for debate anymore. They fucked up.
Yeah.
They should have stayed. They should have made sure that maybe a lot less people are killed. Because you don't need a lot of people to stop. They had machetes. It
Minimal
was so
force.
Preventable.
It's the same in Serbia. Yeah. The entire genocide could have been prevented by bombing 50 bridges.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
I know, it would have taken nothing. Insane? And it's the same thing here, especially because most of the dirty work was done by machetes, not by guns. And on top of that,
scary.
The Hutu, the reason why it spread so quickly is because the Hutu were an extremely obedient culture because they were just used to thousands of years of being subservient to the Tutsi. So the reason why they took up arms so quickly is because Hutu Power FM was going, you have to kill the cockroaches. And they went, okay. And then they did it. There's so many
stories.
And
they were told, if you don't kill, then they're eventually going to kill you. So it was the politics of fear, right? So it was just,
yeah,
you kill them or they kill you. So they made it into like a self-defense thing.
Damn. Yeah, no,
that's the only way you rationalize it. There's no way you can convince someone to go for and kill random people unless you tell them if you don't.
Yeah,
it's not even they'll kill you. It's they'll kill your family.
Yeah,
that's what gets you going.
Yeah. No, it makes sense.
Yeah. So there's so many accounts of these extremely under-provisioned, under-armed 450 soldiers saving thousands of lives by huddling as many Tutsi as they could into a church.
Yeah, you told me.
Huge mobs of people dragging machetes on the ground, which sounds like the scariest sound you could possibly hear. Them sharpening it on the bitumen as they come by, chanting.
Jesus.
Imagine like hiding under a desk in your room and you can see the sparks being created by that sharp machete.
So scary.
There's stories of that as well, of people. Every survival story of a Tutsi is incredible. I highly recommend you look them up. Someone that my friend was sponsoring once was a Tutsi survivor. She saw her parents get butchered in front of her. The way she survived was hiding in a shrub for 45 days. She hid in a shrub in the middle of a town center with Hutu people walking around being like, where are the cockroaches?
Oh,
I want to kill again.
God. How did she survive without eating
and
drinking?
She just sat there. I don't know. She must have scurried out like the cockroach she is and then just eaten shit and ran back in. I don't know how she did it. It's incredible.
It was terrifying. That is absolutely just...
Yeah. Oh, definitely.
Unbelievable.
But yeah, there's so many stories of two... That's all they could afford, right? Having two UN peacekeepers without any guns at all, just sitting back on plastic school chairs in front of a church filled with thousands of Tutsi huddling in there as huge mobs of Hutu came in going like, where are the Tutsi? And they go away. We're protecting this area. It's UN sanctified area. You can't take it. And because they're so obedient, they just went, okay. And they just left.
Mm. Damn.
On a daily basis. Think about how brave you would be to face an entire riled up, drunk mob, hungry for blood. Because that's the other thing that they keep mentioning in these videos, which people of the Hutu say as well.
Yeah.
Once you get the taste of killing someone, kind of to wash it out, you want to kill someone else.
Yeah.
To make the blow of the initial kill less impactful on your psyche.
Yeah. And you're a changed person. That's...
Yeah.
It's quite bizarre. Like, I highly recommend this movie on Netflix to our audience, you guys.
Yeah.
It's called
I Defended My Country.
Beasts of No Nation, right? It's a make-pretend African warlord movie. But what's interesting is, like, it's about child soldiers. And so they come out of it. These UN forces, this NGO gets them out, and they're put into, like, this really nice house, and they're given education. But the only thing that these guys want to do is want to go back. Because you get so used to the adrenaline.
Wow. Oh, fully. Yeah, I've heard that before, actually.
That you normal society, you're just a fucked individual.
Dude,
like,
even,
you cannot... It's
even
the same
vets
thing
in
as, like...
Even vets in America,
exactly.
They come back to America and they're just like, I got to go back. It's like, you said you hate it. It's like, I know, but I got to go back.
I don't know anything. Once you experience that, it's like coming back from the Matrix. Like, it's
like
insane.
It's heroin. Yeah.
And also you get hooked on a lot of heroin in these sort of situations.
Yeah,
also.
Yeah. It's heroin plus it's literally heroin. Yeah.
It's quite literally heroin.
Can you metaphorical and literal, doubly addictive.
So yeah, yeah, basically crazy. They were saying they could have saved hundreds of thousands of lives because he had this, I can't remember what his name is, but he had this plan of if he just had 500 men, and it's just over and over again, people interviewing him during the crisis saying, what do you need? And he was saying, men, that's all I need. Because he'd just get the football field in every major town, put 50 UN peacekeepers on it, say to all the Tutsi, go in there, we'll protect you. Mm. And then they just sit there with machine guns and just shoot into the air every time mobs would come in to shoot it. It would be so easily defendable.
Right.
So effective.
And they didn't have that.
He didn't. They just abandoned him. I feel so sorry for the guy. Damn. Because he keeps wanting to kill himself. He's tried to kill himself on numerous occasions because he's just saying, every time I close my eyes, all I see is hundreds of huddled eyes looking at me with absolute fear, or in most cases, just utter confusion, like bewilderment of what's going on. Because that's the other thing, is once the genocide started, it was just this frenzy of utter confusion. No one knew what was happening. Even the guy that orchestrated it, which you've got to look him up. I can't remember his name again.
The gold Uzi guy.
So good. He's exactly what you would imagine
in a Sylvester Stallone film about like African terrorists.
He's that. Yeah. He is the stereotypical warlord walking around in yellow camouflage shirt with a gold chain, basically looking like a slightly skinnier Rick Ross with a golden gun, huge obnoxious diamond-studded glasses.
That's crazy. Rick Ross actually dresses like that.
Rick Ross as president of a country. That's the result. Dude, genocide.
Right, you realize right there would be like, that's why, like, right there would be why Ben Shapiro would be like, black crime is high because of a cultural, they commit more crime. There's a cultural issue in the black culture.
It's definitely indisputable when you look at the crime rates of Africa. It's clearly the most dangerous place to live in the world.
But there's a lot of
dangerous places in the world.
Yeah. I'm not saying I agree with
it. I'd rather live in Iraq than the Congo.
Yeah, me too.
Let's put it that way.
Okay, dude, Congo is pretty shit.
Dude, throw a fucking dart at Africa.
Well, okay, do it. Throw a dart.
Yeah.
And let's see where you land. I'd rather live in Egypt.
Well, I'd rather live in South Africa.
How about...
I mean, people in Ali's country see getting citizenship to South Africa as winning the lotto.
Well, South Africa...
That is sadly true.
Well, dude, if I was forced to be a citizen in South Africa, I would spend as much money as possible getting one of those giant suits that you see in anime that just turns you into a huge robot and just sit there stomping on houses.
Africa's doing better, man. Like, a lot of countries in Africa are now... Sub-Saharan Africa, which is supposed to be the poorest country... Like, Rwanda is part of it. Dude, Rwanda's growth rate was 12% literally 2-3 years ago.
It's easy to do that when you're starting from shit.
Okay, true. Yeah. Hey, we can fucking debunk me straight. It's true. It's true. If you start from nothing, it's... But, well, you know what?
Yeah, it doesn't count.
Like, so if we move...
Tunisia is screwed. They have the worst...
Wait. I just got to tell you this story because it just really adds to the confusion of the time. The one guy from the US embassy, I think it was, or... No, some Christian charity group that was staying there, which, again, all you atheists can shit on Christians as much as you like. None of you fucks would be there because the thought in the back of your mind is, when I die, there's nothing. I want to live this out as far as I can. I want to clinch on a dear life. That guy's thinking, if I save people, God will protect me. I don't know what the reasons are. The point is, he was really nice and he was clearly a closet homosexual, but whatever.
There's a long list of positives that the Christian faith has delivered to the world, but like...
Sorry, like...
so good that the Muslim on the podcast...
Yeah, it's so true.
Like, imagine the opposite of that. There's a lot of good things that Muslims... Dude, like,
back in the day when it was moderate, the Muslim world created, like...
But, like, I would created, never like, medicine. Say that because it's a fucking... really fucking tribal thing to say.
If you said it as a Muslim thing, it's not untrue.
But the point is...
No, I'm sure, like, Christian thing is also untrue. I just don't think that's a very, like... It just sounded funny when you said it.
That's why I said it. Sometimes it's good to draw a line in the sand.
Especially when talking about genocide. Now, the point is, and I agree, that guy, I think, hid when the US envoys were forcing everybody out of the country. I think he hid to stay behind to deliver food to Tutsi that were hiding in UN-protected areas. Damn. Really, noble. Really dangerous job.
Would you say that's noble? Yeah.
Definitely.
Yeah, yeah.
I
courageous.
I am 1/10,000th of that guy. Yeah,
so am I.
I'm not that guy's anus.
If that's not...
Don't you reckon his anus is more holy than me as a whole human?
I mean,
being?
I don't know. That's a very
It should
strange...
be in a jar when he dies. That's all I'm saying. Just his anus.
Jesus.
His anus is
to
so
To see if
holy.
He ever had gay sex before, because I'm sure he did.
Stop with the... All right,
I know, it was
maybe.
Just so obvious. It was just like, look, I told my wife... You mean your beard? No, my wife. But he's a great guy.
Yeah. He's a champion. Like, I don't know. That will definitely reserve a spot in heaven for you.
For sure.
I don't know what else will guarantee you a spot in heaven.
Or at least being reincarnated as Ariana Grande. At least.
I shouldn't.
Better than being Jesus.
I shouldn't laugh at that, because she was the one that, like, all those kids... Isn't it insane these days that, like, name a random celebrity, there's a 1 in 10 chance they were involved in a mass terrorist attack. Anyway...
God, I'd
like
really
two,
like
though,
to see the research
just,
in the stats of that 1 in 10.
1 in 10. That's a...
Yeah, okay, that's pretty... I'm over-exaggerating, but like there's the...
Wait, okay, so besides Ariana Grande...
what other celebrity?
Eagles, who are like, I guess, like a celebrity after the event, but like, okay. Who else?
Eagles of Death Metal?
Yeah, that's what I... Yeah.
Oh, did you just say them?
Yeah, I just said that. And like, shit. I'm telling you, like, they became way more famous
well, yeah,
after.
They...
But like, okay, let's...
Nicki Webster, because her music was a terrorist attack.
How about... wait, there's probably... Oh, dude.
Bitchy.
I don't know, this is such a stretch. Dimebag Darrell from Pantera.
I don't know who that is.
You don't know Pantera?
No, so because he's never listened to Triple J in his life.
Triple J did not play Pantera.
So they do. I've heard them on it.
No, you haven't.
Haven't I?
No, dude.
Oh, yeah,
they're
like that's right. They're
like a thrash metal band.
Tame Impala.
There was a... He got shot at one of his concerts.
By a Muslim terrorist?
No, terrorism's still terrorism. It was a terrorist.
Oh, who?
It was like a white terrorist.
No, wait, dude, terrorism... Okay, here's one of the things that I need to fucking get. Terrorism isn't just anything. Terrorism is a particular thing.
It's terror.
No, it's not. I've got it like, okay. Terrorism is a very specific term. Look it up in the dictionary. It's basically a political strategy to exert influence into policy by attacking non-state elements. That's what terrorism is. So terrorism isn't just like...
So academic. So what about a guy that kills someone? You're like, yeah, that's true.
No. Then why are murderers called terrorists?
Yeah, but if it's at a... Wait a sec. This guy was at an event, a public event, killed the artist.
What was the motivation for his killing?
I think...
They sucked.
I don't know.
That's not terrorism. If his motivation was... that
political or religious, is that why?
If it's No. Yeah, political.
Or religious?
Depends on like the structure of society. If whatever,
I'm just joking.
No, but like, dude, most terrorists.
No.
Even
you voice
are,
that
they have political motivations.
Okay, that makes sense. Political. I don't know if so. It has to be politically motivated for it to be
considered terrorism.
But wait a sec. What if there was like? What if it was like a extremist Islamic thing and it had nothing? Is that considered political?
It depends on what the agenda. So
are they trying to influence politics?
Al-Qaeda is like a pure example of a terrorist organization.
Yeah, but
right?
What if it's like one rogue dude that kidnaps some dude and cuts their head off and is like, do you want political change? He's like, no, I just want to appease Allah.
No, he's a psychopath.
That's an insane man.
Hey, settle down.
Yeah.
I'm joking.
Are you saying...
I'm joking.
He's got some bright ideas.
I'm 100%
in
joking.
My mind, the guy that decapitated a journalist is exactly the same as the guy in Rwanda that stayed behind to give food
joking.
To orphans.
Okay, I guess that does make more sense if it doesn't have political connotations. But politics and religion, the lines fuse. What if someone is a imam that has no... there's like dishing out fatwas, but has no interest. He's in a country that's already law. He has no interest in changing that law or exporting that law. I would still kind of deem
there
that...
Unless you're a psychopath, there is no example of that person that you're mentioning. No one kills...
There's like 10... No. What do you mean? No. I'm not saying...
There is
I'm not
no
saying directly killing. I'm saying...
That kills someone without any reason unless they're crazy, including terrorists.
No, but a fatwa is a reason. Let's say it's
no,
on social.
Okay, so then that no, that
no. There's
political.
A lot of people that do kill just because someone said to them, "I don't know, man. I thought you were cool." That's a real psychological...
Yeah, but that's not a terrorist.
...experiment.
No, but that's not terrorism again.
Anyway, all right, fair enough, whatever. It's like, yeah, they're like apples and oranges. It's like, that's a fair call.
You're listening to Oxford Dictionary Gets Debated on the Friendly Stories podcast. We could easily look up this definition and no, prove one of you right. Nonetheless, we will talk about it for 20
minutes. Dictionary definitions have ambiguity. You can still fucking, like, dictionary... words are redefined all the time.
I thought you'd hate that point, Miss Love. That is what SJWs always use. Every time someone goes, you can be sexist to a man, they go, definitions don't mean anything.
I didn't say it doesn't mean anything. I said, you know, I'm allowed to debate it.
No, look,
the point is, Miss Love, can I throw this white board eraser at your nuts? Come on.
Yeah. Not too hard.
All right.
No, you're going to do it hard. You're going to do it hard.
I won't.
You will.
I'll just forever how loud this music. All right, currently standing up.
Oh, wow. That missed everything. Jesus. That just hit his
knee. Croatian summer indeed.
So anyway, this guy.
the Canadian guy.
No, the American guy.
Oh, okay.
He was delivering food to an orphanage. He noticed that there was a bunch of guys there standing out with machetes, and they were just waiting for him and his friend, some other Hutu moderate, I think. This is what we also need to remember as well. Hashtag not all Hutus. It needs to be raised right now. So relevant. Yeah, no.
The next part of this is actually me talking about like how the Hutus need to be cared for at this point. Because I think, dude, I noticed some trends which are very, very... dangerous. I
mean, yeah, there was Hutu extremists that were killing Tutsi, but there was also a lot of Hutu that risked their lives hiding Tutsi family members. I mean, not family members, Tutsi neighbors.
Yeah. Sorry, I'm just laughing because
like
I don't believe
every
we did
genocide
that.
Too. That's also a very common thing.
And it's really admirable of the human spirit, and that's what that guy said. At the end of it, his conclusion was human beings are capable of unbelievable good selfless acts and also unbelievable destructive acts. That's what he summarized his experience in the genocide as.
That's
but anyway,
true,
the
yeah.
truest statement,
isn't it?
Possibly,
yeah, definitely.
Human beings are an incredible creature, aren't they?
Yeah,
makes you think.
You
know what else is an incredible creature?
Think.
Armadillos.
And you can
really
use
hard exterior, wow.
But soft insides, just like humans.
You can use ideologies.
Are we that different?
To make someone do extremely good and extremely bad.
Yeah, dude.
Mother Teresa and Osama bin Laden are like both motivated by religion.
And I think that proves that Gavin McInnes was right. Christianity is the superior religion. Now, let's move on.
That was the point that I was trying to make.
The Muslim guy. He's not Muslim, he's atheist. Are you?
As fuck.
but like, man, I like the label.
But the thing is, Ali's a good one because Ali's like... educated on...
But how much do you like this label more? Pakistani communist.
So much, endlessly more.
I love that that's how you are referred to on this podcast, as the Pakistani communist.
And I wish that I brought your gift, but don't tell them what it is. I wish I brought your gift for the pod, but I forgot because I'm a fucking idiot.
Sorry, I keep getting distracted.
Yeah.
Shame on you, sir.
Sorry.
about the gift... That's fine.
Yeah. Forget about that. Forget about it. It's gone. Move on. It's gone.
So anyway, they were about to attack this orphanage. They were waiting for them to leave.
I know this story.
He was freaking out. So he ran. He didn't know what to do. So he ran to the closest government building there was.
Yeah.
And he made friends with somebody in the Hutu hierarchy.
Yeah.
Just so he could keep in contact. Because that was the other thing that you got to remember. This general, for instance, from the UN... He used to have to deal with Hutu warlords on a daily basis, shake their hands while they were marred with the blood of Tutsi while he was shaking their hands.
It was
just an insane time.
I have to say, like, the whole thing, it dehumanizes it for me. Because
what?
The whole scenario is so dehumanized because it's so horrible. Every time I look at the picture of Africa as a continent, I just see like Looney Tunes, like just cartoons of Looney Tunes. I'm like, it's just a different universe to
it's
me.
It's extreme.
It's so, everything's so extreme. Everyone says Australia is this you know, oh, there's sharks and snakes. Yeah, there are a high proportion of animals in Kenya.
And obviously, so many racists here. The Cronulla riots.
Yeah.
Definitely as bad as the Rwandan genocide.
So, like, but Africa is just, to me, this, like, dude, I'm scared to go there.
Dude, there's, like, there's two extremes, right? So that also exists, but there's also parts of Africa that are fucking fine. And also...
I can't stress this enough, Ali. No, there's not.
No! I can't stress this enough. Yes, there are.
No, I really can't stress this enough. No, there aren't.
Fenced off rich fortresses like the one you lived in Pakistan. Yeah, that sounds pretty good. But in general, I'm not walking down the street of any African
dude, I want
down.
To go. I would love to go to Africa. But
and this was also in 1994. You go to Rwanda now, you'll be fucking fine.
Really?
It's a great place, and we will get to that. I just really need to finish this story because it just really sums it up.
Go on.
So he was talking to this government official because he was, you know, you had to make friends with them to try and negotiate not killing as many people, basically. Yeah. That's all they could do. It was really heroic that they were doing it. Anyway, he was talking to them going, they're about to kill all of the Tutsi orphans in this orphanage.
Yeah.
And then he goes, why don't you talk to the Prime Minister about it? He's going, what? The guy that's orchestrating the genocide? The fucking Rick Ross yellow camo pants guy? And so he walks in, I'm imagining with the same music in Entourage going, oh yeah! Because he's walking in. Just like our Rick Ross, how there's always just a bunch of random black guys just standing around him in his mansion that you know he pays for, that are kind of on this better version of the doll that don't do shit except for sit there going like, hell yeah, man, that's some bomb Jordan, man, that's shit, man. Yeah. It was just that. Just around yes this men. Guy.
Right.
Yeah, yeah, rapper right. Yes Men right. was what he was surrounded with, and they were the guys that were in power.
Yeah.
Which is so... It was that guy just waving around golden guns basically on radio every day like Rick Ross is going, I'm a thug, papa nigga, I'm a thug. Right. That's about it.
Yeah, yeah,
it was
yeah.
that guy in power. Anyway, he goes up to that guy and he goes, hi, sir, my name's Paul, I'm with the Red Cross or whatever he was. I don't know, DePaul or whatever. And then he goes, ah, yes, Paul, I have heard so much about you. Come to my jacuzzi. And he goes, well, I'd love to, but there's a bunch of orphans, Tutsi orphans, that are about to be massacred. And I'm wondering if you can help me out. And he goes, hold on a minute. And then he talks to his entourage, and then he comes back and goes, okay, we handled this. Don't worry about this, Paul. Now come to my jacuzzi. And he saves the Tutsi orphans? The guy that's on Hutu Power FM every day going, every one of the cockroaches needs to be wiped out.
Well, why?
No exception.
Because he wanted favors from the UN guy. He recognized that he was a powerful man. It's like it's...
Do you think it was? He wanted to go to The Hague while he was getting trialed and say, this guy saved a bunch of orphans. He's not this cartoon supervillain. It's just a very confusing situation.
But he also killed a bunch of guys.
I know, but it's just... It adds... another dimension to genocide.
Yeah. It's don't so you think? Political. It makes you feel like...
I reckon he was just, sucking up to him. It was a political move for him because it was like, if I do this, you know, he'll get some sort of political...
leverage out of it.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
I think maybe just in that moment, I'm not sure, because at that point, he was riding high. He knew that the world wasn't going to intervene.
You know what's the...
Dude, he looked
at... He didn't think that it was ever going to end. Every Hutu genocide enactor, all of them that were massacring, they all say the same thing. During the genocide, they felt... superhuman. They felt immortal.
And that's why he probably did it too, because he was like, with a snap of my fingers, I could spare so many people, and it's nothing.
That's true.
It's nothing for me. Maybe. I could kill them, and I could save them.
No, where was the UN guy from? Canada?
He wasn't a UN guy. He was some Christian charity group, and he's from the US.
Ah. Dude, he just heard his accent was like, I would really like to go to Florida. One day,
yeah,
man.
That could be your motivation. It's hard,
dude. It definitely was.
Yeah.
So anyway,
the Caribbean looks so cool, man. I don't know why he spoke Caribbean as he was.
Yeah. So anyway, fast forward, nerd president that we discussed last time, the world's greatest board game player. We can only assume.
Yeah,
probably has a winning strategy in Monopoly that actually works.
What's the one called where you drop the things?
You know, Battleship.
Yes, he's probably good at
a genius
too.
At that.
Yeah.
I mean, he has been president ever since the genocide and was the general that saved the Tutsi or what remained of them.
He was the vice president initially.
Okay, stand corrected. Yeah, the point whatever. Is, he's still awesome at board games.
Yep.
That is a fact. That is an absolute fact.
I really
fact.
Can't stress this enough.
Kills it at fucking payday.
Payday.
Candy the world's crush. Shittest version of Monopoly. Only at the reject shop.
I don't even know what it is.
You don't need to know.
Right. No one needs to know.
So
the,
all
it's
of that.
Our, it's the Pakistani version of Monopoly. That's
no
what we
way.
Have.
Yeah, how no, much no. olives do you have? Lots. You win. What do you mean I win? Game over. Game over
it's
now.
It's just such basic Monopoly.
Sorry, that's like heaps racist, I guess.
Is dude, it? No, yeah, dude. Like, it's not racist enough. Keep going.
Too often I refer to to Ali's like... fucking heritage as like 90% revolving around olives. It's probably not fair.
Which is like the best thing is like, dude, we don't have olives there, but
oh yeah, that's like Rome and shit.
I'm pretty sure Miss Love knows more about Pakistan than you, Alan.
sorry. I was being culturally insensitive. Shish kabobs
with a lot of olives in it.
Yeah.
Okay, so Ali, fast forward food. After the just after the genocide as well, because I really want to know what happened in the 100 days after the 100 days of tragedy.
Yeah, so initially, so what happened was the Tutsi army from Uganda marched over with the help of the international community and the United Nations. They took over power. And as you can imagine, Hutus were like, you know, they just committed a genocide. They realized that they fucked up.
No.
Dude.
Instantly.
Well, maybe not instantly. But
are you talking about the political body or the people?
Even the people. Even the people would realize. Because it's one of those, it's one of like, it's the hangover. Like you had an insane night of drinking and now you realize, holy shit, I fucked up or we fucked up.
Yeah.
And that's the reason why a minority Tutsi government is still in power to this day. But here's okay, so after the genocide, the Tutsi government took over.
What happened to the president? What happened to Rick Ross?
Dude, oh, he was a war criminal.
He's a rapper now, man.
Yeah, he's a rapper. He is Rick Ross.
he went
but who captured him? So the Tutsi military just seized the palace and took him.
Yeah, and all the armies from provided by the United Nations afterwards. And so anyway, so then they started with the reform project, right? Which was initially the international community feeling extremely guilty. So they started helping like, all right, Rwanda, what can we do for you? But here's the thing. So after that, you know, they got a lot of aid money and then they started developing a few of their industries, services sector, got rid of... Actually, Rwanda is probably the one of the best places in Africa to do
damn
business
it.
For ease of business.
So hectic.
And so they...
I stole Mislav's phone, by the way.
Damn, that was like the Great White. It was like the social Great White moving in for the kill. Except the kill was an iPhone.
Yeah, every time.
As soon as he sees that it's a mobile, that's when he moves in.
That was
I can
so
actually
hectic.
Cue. As soon as I start talking about anything of remote substance, I can see Miss Love's yawn come straight away. Like, it is insane.
No, it's just, I know all this shit. Like, I know about how, like, not specifically, but I know, like, a whole thing about genocide, how it's just, like, people just get high on the killing. Like, it's the only explanation why anyone could do
it.
You know what I mean?
So,
I'm listening. So, I need to know... what haircut Queens of the Stone Age currently have.
What? I'm texting my girlfriend.
You're looking at haircuts.
Why now?
So you can go in there and go, give me the Polly.
The Rachel. So, Jordan, this is, all right, so we'll move on.
Or
like,
as he currently has at the moment, the Jim Owen haircut. Now, sorry.
So this
comedian
is,
from the 90s. If you don't get it, you weren't here.
Anyway, so the economy started growing at a decent rate and everything looks good. The current president is kind of a dictator. He won the last election by like 97%. Some like just, you know, one of those crazy elections.
But did
right?
he win it outright? Because I'm pretty sure the president of Kazakhstan legitimately won 98% of the vote.
Well, I don't know if he legitimately, but like I'm saying, even if there was a free and fair election, he probably would have won. But the problem here is, so I was looking at the way their economy is sort of divided. So about 35% to 30% of their money comes from agriculture, which used to be around 80 to 90% pre-genocide days. And about 40% of it is from services and about 12.
What services do they provide?
Services includes, you know, like, it also...
Really colorful saras?
Tourism, hotels, local consumption of restaurants, banking, telecommunication, you know, you can put all of that into that one category, which is great. And it, that's the grow... That's
so it's basically 80s Australia.
Yeah, but like at a much lower level at this point.
I don't know.
But here's the thing: the labor.
Malcolm Fraser, what a shit prime minister. Sorry.
But the labor force is still 90% into the agricultural sector. So every day, their economy is moving away from agriculture to services, and the labor force continues to stay 90% agriculture, which means
shit education.
No. It means that all of the economic gains are being enjoyed by the Tutsis and not the Hutus. Because remember, the Hutus were the ones that were primarily farmers.
Wow.
So we're looking... He's sitting on a time bomb here.
Wow. ABBA was right. History does repeat itself.
It's like...
Money.
Must be funny.
In an authoritarian way, he's... In an authoritarian way, he's keeping the Hutus at bay, and the Hutus are sort of complying at this point because, like, you know, 94 wasn't that far off where they fucked up real bad. But, like, if he continues to move his economy to the service sector without actually changing his labor force, we're looking at a pretty bad revolution once again.
Okay, so
don't forget, Hutus are 85% of the population. The democratic forces are with them.
How are they still 85% after the genocide? Shouldn't they be 99?
Wait, so is this today?
The Tutsi
about?
Are the 1%. This is current.
Yeah, but they're all fine now. I mean, in terms of, right? They're
no,
all
well,
fine.
But you
Look,
can
so
still tell who's Tutsi and Hutu, right?
Yeah. Well, it's very, like, it's extremely frowned upon to say it, and also the government highly discourages it. But every dude, 94 wasn't that long ago. Everyone knows exactly who a Hutu is and who a Tutsi is. They still have that shit
inside.
But is
it stable now?
It's stable for now. Yeah. Because the economy is growing at like 8 to 12%, some of the benefits are being enjoyed by the Hutus as well, because the agricultural sector is not going down, but it is just not growing at the same level as all the other factors. So what I'm trying to say is that inequality in the country is growing.
Do you think that the president is good, though? And honestly, do you also think that that's a Noam Chomsky point of a total conspiracy of the only reason why the UN started helping after the revolution wasn't because they felt bad about the casualties, but was because they knew that the Tutsi president was going to enact a neoliberal agenda pointed out by the IMF?
That is...
okay, thanks for your point, Noam Chomsky.
Yeah,
we're out of time.
Yeah, lighten it up, Chomsky. Fuck.
But that's exactly what it is. Like, Chomsky's 100% right about that.
So this guy is basically Malcolm Turnbull.
He is. What he essentially did was he basically just opened up regulation for foreign companies to come in. Obviously, they brought in capital as a result. It started opening up like restaurants and hotels and shit.
So were the Hutu extremists communist?
No, they weren't.
It's the
communist.
Only thing they could possibly be. They weren't. They killed so many people.
It's got to be.
They weren't communists, but...
What do you reckon their economic policy was? Or was it just
nationalist.
Like...
They're quite nationalist.
Okay, so they were just going, after we kill all the Tutsi, everything made in Rwanda stay in Rwanda.
Yeah, because you can imagine, right? If they're trying to like insulate themselves, because the international community was telling them, please don't kill Tutsi. So they're like, all right, we don't need you. We'll just like keep sort of pumping out. Because Rwanda is kind of like, it doesn't
okay,
have
so they
any
were bad on
resources.
Social policy, but economic policy, I think we're all on point here. They were Bernie Sanders, basically.
Again, like, okay, look, this Bernie is the thing that Sanders. Pisses off Miss Love, too. Because just because they were nationalists or they were what... I don't even want to say, but like if they were left-leaning, it does not make them good. Just the way this current guy, Paul Kagame, is not good either. Like, right. you need
so
to
you
like
don't think he's a good president?
Out. Dude, what I'm saying is like he's sitting on a time bomb. His labor force is still 90% agriculture. Every day, the agricultural sector keeps reducing. What's the end plan here? This is what he needs to do. He needs to continue on this trajectory, but he needs to like readjust his labor force. He needs to make sure that 90%, because this is the other thing, right? As I said, Rwanda is the most densely populated African country, which means that all of the farmland are not huge land holdings.
Rwanda,
extremely
the
small.
Sardines of humans.
Yeah, I'm in over my head. I'm just like, yeah, Africa's cooked, so I don't know.
So, well, listen.
Dude.
There's no way you start a podcast with ice addicts already. It seems like you're grasping at straws. I think if they want...
Miss Love. How do you make change if you don't understand what the hell you're looking at?
Yeah.
How do you, Miss Love?
Just do what Croatia did. They seem fine.
They did exactly the same thing as Rwanda.
Really?
It became extremely neoliberal after the fall of Yugoslavia.
But if they're,
and so did Serbia.
But if they, but is it? It's a, like a westernized sort of. It's got its own. It's an integrated global economy. It's got its own president. So it's developing. It's growing economically, right?
I mean, yeah, you have to say that Rwanda is a success story of Africa.
At the point, yes.
If
is.
You just so exclude just stay the
course.
Genocide.
So just stay the course, essentially.
No, but okay. It is a success story, but success for who?
The president.
The people.
The people.
Well, the president will have a bit of trouble because he can't just keep... Because he's basically, right now, he's being authoritarian. He's basically just saying, like, trust me, I'm running... Don't mess with me. And if anyone messes with him, he's quite authoritarian. Which, at the moment, the West loves. Because he's basically just pursuing the IMF and World Bank agenda in his country.
Right.
But these are extremely short-term policies. As Chomsky says, well, if you really want to make sure that your country progresses, you do exactly the opposite of what World Bank and the IMF are suggesting. If you look at the U.S. and its growth, it did... Like Adam Smith was saying that the U.S. should continue producing cotton because that's what they're good at, and the British manufacturing is good, so you should so you shouldn't even attempt... You shouldn't even bother developing your manufacturing. But that's exactly the opposite of what America did. America basically made sure that their industry grew by putting protectionist policies, and they suggest the exact opposite to these countries that desperately need these policies at the time.
This is why Chomsky is a cut above Gavin McInnes, because apart from just reading Vox and going, do you see how annoying this guy's glasses are? Get less annoying glasses.
He does have a point, though.
And how?
He's not wrong.
Every person.
That guy on Vox is fucking annoying. And if there was one person that I could just love to get like a boxing glove and go, it'd be that guy.
Yeah.
But the fact that Noam Chomsky combines history with economics, that's why he's a cut above.
Yeah. Because
he keeps putting it into historical context that this is not new. ABBA was right. History keeps repeating itself.
And I don't know, like most, I know like most people say the same thing to me. It's not just Miss Love. Like everyone that I talk to about Chomsky, they say that, yeah, he's good, but God damn, he's boring. But to me, he's the funniest human being on earth.
Yes,
really?
Dude, granted, he's makes way me more hilarious so than Gavin much. McInnes.
It's like, okay. When I'm at work, I'm listening to Chomsky on my earphones, and I am laughing so many times. And people are like, hey, what are you listening to? And I just go, like, I'm listening to Chomsky. And they're just, you're retarded, man.
That's so good.
But dude, I'm telling
Thinking about the difference between Ali and some fat truckie in Lithgow who's getting the same level of hilarity from listening to Rodney Rood.
Hey, Rodney Rood is mad, too.
No one's denying that.
Scooby.
He is the Noam Chomsky of comedy.
He is. I don't know who did, what's his swipes? We used to just call it Scooby.
He's great.
Well, yeah. I mean,
should get out of here, you homeless fuck.
It does seem
the
like...
The two greatest human beings of our time.
It does seem like...
And, of course, the greatest god cursor.
It does it does seem like a repeat of every, you know, that whole scenario of, like, you know, a genocide happens and then they integrate into the new economy and then they slowly get a better standard of living and blah, 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 right? That's it.
Yeah, it's like the most... It's easier to, like...
I mean, that's...
So, for any country...
Or you become North Korea.
I don't know how to like explain this, but I think most of you have the idea. Becoming a developed country or coming into the first world is probably the most difficult thing anyone could ever do.
Right.
Like, it is so difficult. Like, so many things need to work out for you. But what's easy is getting that initial jump. So if you start from nothing and you can easily grow your economy from 12%, you can even come into middle-income countries. But moving from middle-income to like high-end countries or like high-income countries... It's like East Asia is probably the only example that has been able to do it in recent times. It's
No one
has been able to do it since.
So they're doing good now. They're doing good now is what you're saying.
No, what I'm saying is that they're doing decent right now.
Yeah, yeah.
But they're going to hit a roadblock if they keep going in the same direction.
So your basic review of the world's greatest board game player is that props for ending the genocide when the whole world turned their back on it. But room for improvement. As Michelle Obama would say, be better. How fucking great
be better.
Is that? I mean, I've always hated Michelle Obama ever since my mum was going, you can disagree with me, but she is the real driving force behind Obama. You know the expression, behind every caveman is the cave woman? Mm-hmm. Case closed.
You can disagree
with me.
She
was running the country.
Yeah, you can disagree with me. Fuck off. But there's a lot of people
that would agree with me.
That's the classic.
Yeah, that's it.
Yeah.
That's exactly what she said. There's so many people that agree with me. Name one. Whoopi Goldberg. Mad. The woman that looks like Bob Marley.
Well,
she. I guess we should wrap it up.
I never want to hear another thing about Rwanda ever again. I think we're covered.
Can't believe you find it boring.
Is this what's going to happen? Like, our audience is going to be like, God damn, can we not? Is Miss Love like a prototype of what's actually going to, what the reception
is? Is that orangutan in that 90s movie that featured Joey from Friends? If anyone knows the name of it, please put it in the comments. I only saw it at 3 p.m. on a Saturday once, which shows that it must have been quality, missed out on the Oscar material. He's the orangutan that's always in a Hawaiian shirt that claps his hand going, if it's a good TV show. If it's bad.
No, it was good. It's just depressing. And it is history repeating itself. So it's just, it keeps happening. And also, so those two things. And then, the topic of Africa. How to improve Africa. I mean, you might as well ask, what's the meaning of life? Come on. even people that are like top economists and top, you know, they're into African politics, all these sort of, it's so hard.
But all topics are like that, man. It's
the hardest. Come on.
Okay, welcome to the Ruben Report, episode 732, where we'll be delving into, yet again, just how annoying social justice warriors are. We've just scratched the surface.
No. But Africa specifically just seems like such a thankless economic theory. It just seems so, I don't know. It's just, for me, I think a lifetime of being like, man, they've had it so hard. It's hard to even, it's like, it's too late. I don't know.
If Oprah Winfrey could get to where she is in life, they can get there.
Well, I don't know. I'm not, I don't know, but it's just hard.
I think, trust me, you're reading Paul Buchanan. Like, if you want to talk about a demographic time bombs, Africa, you need to give a shit about Africa. Because within the next 20 years, Africa is going to be a lot more relevant to you.
Just
because
of
it is
population
now.
Boom.
Because that's the place. So, yeah, you know, they used to say that China is going to become, or like Asia is going to become really big.
But that's what I mean.
Africa,
I feel like it's
become
big. That's
food security is going to lead you to give a shit about that place.
Yeah.
If maybe. You don't, someone else will have to. Some people have to think about this shit. That's what I'm saying.
No. It's good. It's just like, I feel like with Africa, it's like big or small. Big, go big or go home. And it's like indiscrepancies in, whether the president is doing it, like whether their economic policy is going to sustain.
You just want to look at the Queens of the Stone Age Instagram account again, don't you, Miss Love? You're just having
withdrawals. You did well.
Can you give him his phone back? I think he's not very
I don't
happy.
Love my girlfriend
he
that
hates
much.
Ravonda
we were
going right to
be
now.
Talking about the fact that you're quitting your iPhone.
Yeah.
And you are rubbing your arm as we speak like a junkie looking at your phone.
I was talking to my girlfriend. It's been fun. But
it's such a classic excuse of, I just need to have it one more time and then I'm going to quit.
Dude, I don't think this Africa segment is going to take off.
I think Ali's African Heartland was a very popular, fifth most popular segment we've ever done.
I think it's going to take off.
With you.
I just
spent 10
I
minutes
like
showing how boring
lost
it is.
I'm
not the audience. I was very interested. Like I said, I am this very niche group of people that it's just like getting to specific economic theory about Africa is just like too anxiety inducing for me. But that is not, that's probably like four people. It's like me, Bob, the receptionist, and like, I don't know, the Lithgow mayor. That's it. So, yeah. It'll be, you know.
God, I'd love to know we've got to do this. The next time she's in, I'm sorry that you need to talk about Rwanda one more time in your life, but we really need to quiz Barb on how much she knows about the Rwandan genocide. Because I can guarantee you throughout all of 1994, she was sitting there listening to Ray Hadley going like, listen to me, doors plush, no fash. I don't know about that, but I do know that they do have a lot of doors, and the plush is definitely accurate. And that'd be the closest thing she knows to Rwanda.
God, this is like a good preface for the next segment, which is basically Miss Love saying that he's going to quit his iPhone and start to read up more on politics.
No. What do you mean?
Didn't you just
what
say
do you mean?
That?
What do we mean?
Yeah. You literally this. Just said that like maybe 40 minutes ago.
I am. Next year, it's going to be over. The bigger the first day, it'll be gone. But I'll still have a phone to message my girlfriend. That's still allowed.
Can we keep this as an official mark that people need to call you up on?
Yes.
On your phone. We'll give your number out on the podcast if you don't quit it.
That would be so good. Deal. That is
and
a deal.
And everybody has to ring up saying, Searles gets the girls. Just to really rub it in that Miss Love does not get the girls.
Deal.
I guess that covers it, but did you want to add anything about the iPhone or do you just want to leave it for another day?
What do you mean?
Well, why are you quitting?
Oh.
Because we need more of these dreams can come true segments to keep reminding you guys,
just,
get off social media, except for friendly Geordies, only except.
I mean, I don't know if I can get in the minds, like the accent of a...
And of course, Filthy Frank.
Of some self-help career, but they are just absolute time wasters. Absolutely. What are you doing? Apart from, if you have a business or a company that needs promotion, fine. But...
Not even then.
Outsource it.
You should be reading books on marketing.
Yeah,
you shouldn't
exactly.
be posting pictures of, we got a new sign today.
And... and hoping for the best.
Clive Palmer likes it too.
But yeah, that that's going to happen. That's going to happen.
A guy that is completely bankrupt, it was unanimously hated in his seat of Oxley, I think it was. And what was coincidence with that was
now.
Him getting a meme page.
Yeah.
Before that, he was a mining magnate parliamentarian.
Which he still
got a
is.
Meme page,
a pest
now just
for
has
society.
A meme page.
He is literally hell-bent on destroying the world.
Really?
Dude, he's a mining magnate.
I thought he just quit. No, he just resigned from politics.
No, didn't he just like open up another fucking mine or some shit? He's like, he's making some of his money back. And like, he ain't into like green energy. That guy, that's not his gig. He's just like, he's funny. He's like a fat
Dude,
fucking meme guy. Everyone likes him, but
he's just a meme lord. That's all he is.
Yeah, and he's like...
A meme lord that's destroying the world, which, let's be honest, the entire meme world army did get Trump elected, so they're doing the same
Oh,
shit.
Man, I got to...
There's no.
I have to not follow that page anymore. So.
No, I know you like it, and man, like he is
no,
funny.
That's
like
so
his
bad.
Memes, his memes are all right. Like I'm not.
And he does make valid points. Waleed Ali does. Suck.
And he's also like a likable guy. If you just listen to him without thinking about what he does for a living.
Yeah, but I'm like I said, I'm a freaking liberal with the environment. So he's got to go. He's got to go.
I like it. I like that about you, Miss Love. Really what you are, if you take away all of your other attributes when it comes to politics, you're basically a deep green. You should be living in Tasmania, chaining yourself to a tree going, this human's been around longer than you, man.
See, that's nice. I like that. Because those guys, I would be like, personal, thumbs up. So yeah, I'll pay that.
You're about as unkempt as one as well. He looks the exact... The exact melding of someone who grew up in a Slavic society meets someone who lives in Tasmania and is basically the new natives ever since the indigenous population was wiped out there. You're living that same nomadic lifestyle. He looks like that, doesn't he?
All right, let's get out of here.
Slavic hippie.
Yeah, it's like I've stopped him from eating rice, so I think he's getting hungry. He should be in that Snickers commercial where, like, you're not you when you're hungry.
It's kind of true, isn't it?
Yeah.
Today, Miss Love was quite angry, and it all
was
just
that?
Boils down to him going, but I'm hungry now. Well, I mean, how much were you shitting on Karma from the Croatian?
Yeah, well, he was... Yeah,
and look,
but
it starts again.
I don't like that guy.
All right, easy, Miss Love. You don't have to get aggressive.
God damn.
Here, have a Snickers.
This is what happens when you do long pods.
Karma is the best show of all time.
But
let's get out of here. We skipped on Miss Love's advice segment today. That was, I don't know why that is.
Have we got any more of
that? Dude, we've got like a few emails, so we're going to do that next time.
What's the email again that they should write into?
CHEEKOO1992@gmail.com.
Chiku.
That email
Chiku
again.
1992@gmail.com.
Write in. Tell us your most pressing sexually inadequate issues. And if you don't have them, as happened in the previous podcast, we will just invent them for you. So you may as well be honest.
Do we get a response from the last ones? Has anyone said anything?
One of them did. The guy that was Todd Flanders messaged me, I think on Twitter or something. No Shout way. Out to him, Todd.
What did he say?
And he said, I'm really glad that my... something along the lines of this. I'm really glad that my inadequacies are good laughing stock for you guys. Feel honoured. Good on him.
That doesn't feel like it was constructive, but
thanks,
still.
Todd.
He's
what? This guy's a champ. But we'll just pay him out the whole time going, put it in your girlfriend's ace. Go on, do it.
That's
do
true.
It.
No, yeah. That was legitimate advice, but I mean, if it's
sorry,
didn't help.
Sorry, and not then, like, in the ass, the party hole.
Yeah, the party hole. And Miss Love accused me of suggesting Ed Sheeran.
Did I?
Yeah, you're because I was like, dude, I don't think that's good advice. And you're like, what? So you want me to tell him to sing an Ed Sheeran song? That's what you would like, Ollie. Just sitting there watching Gavin McInnesson saying Despicable Man.
And I'll stand by it.
We're leaving. We'll leave you with Croatian Summer, which is arguably better than Tarkan's.
Big call.
And I'm calling it now. Croatian pop music is better than Turkish pop music. If you've got something that's more hilarious than that, post it in, but you're wasting your time. Peace.
Madame, Monsieur, bienvenue. Willkommen, Damen und Herren. Welcome to our party, ladies and gentlemen.
Benvenuti cari amici, questa è la nostra estate! Croatian Summer! Čekamo budni dan, da kupamo se goli, pa onda ko šta voli, pa onda ko šta voli. Svi popimo koktel ljubavi, zamješaj da me udari, i šećera i soli, pa onda ko šta voli, pa onda ko šta voli. Od Umaga do Splita, pa sve do Dubrovnika, u ritmu sve se ljulja. Croatian summer, zvao si me ti. Croatian summer, moja ljubavi. Croatian summer, i s Bogom bave ti. Ti pijan od ruma, a ja od ljubavi. Croatian summer, zvao si me ti. Croatian summer, moja ljubavi. Croatian summer, i s Bogom bave ti. Ti pijan od ruma, a ja od ljubavi. Svud je lijepo vrijeme, gdje puše bura, a svud su lijepe žene. Love is in the air, and magic in the night. Croatia full of wonders, Croatia full of life. Croatian summer! Večeras ima čudnu moć, na nebu plove brodovi, i sve se vrti kao ring i špil, kao ring i špil. Od Umaga do Splita, pa sve do Dubrovnika, u ritmu sve se ljulja, u ritmu noće dulja. Croatian summer, zvao si me ti. Croatian summer, moja ljubavi. Croatian summer, i s Bogom bave ti. Ti pijan od ruma, a ja od ljubavi. Croatian summer, zvao si me ti. Croatian summer, moja ljubavi.